Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Friday, August 28th, marked the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington, which was the place of Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic I Have a Dream speech.
To commemorate the event, thousands marched in Washington, D.C. yesterday for the commitment march, Get Your Knees Off Our Necks, in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, including the Married to Medicine cast.
Over the last 3 months, many Bravo talent have been using their voices to protest racism and violence against Black Americans. Portia Williams has been vocal in her fight for justice for Breonna Taylor and was arrested for the second time this week after protesting in Louisville.
The upcoming seasons of both Married to Medicine and Real Housewives of Atlanta will shed light on the important activism of Bravo talent and the necessary conversations happening in our country.
We want to acknowledge the anniversary of the March on Washington, this year's march, and all those who have been working to push our country forward to a place of true equality.
We are deeply saddened that Jacob Blake was shot by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin earlier this week, and that two protesters were killed in the days that followed.
The Daily Dish remains committed to amplifying diverse voices, including all BIPOC.
If you haven't yet, we encourage you to take the time to watch or listen to Bravo's recent special, Race in America, which showcases powerful conversations and personal stories that really put larger issues into perspective.
You can also follow ongoing coverage from NBC News and MSNBC's worldwide team of correspondents at NBCNews.com and NBCBLK.com.
And in one final thought, let's strive to continually educate ourselves and remember that Black Lives Matter. Well, Megan, we have some not-so-breaking news, but I would say heartbreaking news.
Jorinda Medley has announced she will not be returning to The Real Housewives of New York City.
I mean, from season 7 all the way up until now, Dorinda has given us some of the most probably quotable, gifable, memeable moments of any Housewives franchise. So for that, we are forever grateful.
Yes. She made it nice.
Clip. She's putting a clip on her time on Housewives.
She's given us a newfound appreciation for subtitles, you know, on the show. I'm going to miss her so much.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I will say, and anyone who's listened to our interviews with her, she is one of the best people to talk to because she just can have a conversation with anyone. She really is that kind of person. And I will say, I will also miss her sister, Melinda. She's always just like a bright, shining star when she shows up.
Yeah. And I feel like something that, you know, we know because we've worked with her, but it's good to share with fans, is Dorinda was always so lovely in person. You know, she always remembered who I was, which sounds like such a small thing to say. She just was always so kind and so nice to work with.
I also have an idea for her spinoff. It can be called Meddling Around with Dorinda.
Ooh.
You heard it here first. Well, and Megan, you've probably known her the longest of a lot of people who work at Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, I worked here before she was a housewife even. So I remember her coming in, you know, whenever we have someone new joining the Bravo family, they'll do a sort of a media training, giving them like the lay of the land, who works in what department. And I just remember she sort of came in sweatpants and like she had just come from a yoga class and no makeup, hair wasn't done. She was just so happy to be here and be part of Bravo. And I think that, you know, some things have changed. I don't think she'd show up to the office now without, you know, glam, but she's always just stayed so sweet.
And you guys did that really fun video where you announced the Real Housewives nominees. Remember, it was you and Rachel and Dorinda?
Yes. So we did a live Real Housewives Awards. It was a Facebook Live initiative. And Eric, actually, you were her stand-in, right?
Oh my God, that's right. We rehearsed and I pretended to be Dorinda. That was so fun.
But I will say it was, you know, sort of the podcast in its infancy. And for Dorinda to agree to be part of that was so huge for us and such a nice thing.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely is someone that, regardless of what you see on the show, she has a big heart. And I think anyone who's been watching her for all this time would recognize that. And, you know, I spoke to her not that long ago because I went up to the Berkshires and she happened to be back down in the city for that week. So we didn't get to, you know, see each other. I didn't get to go to Bluestone Manor, but she is someone who definitely, you meet her once and you feel like you have a connection with her.
Right. And I will say, you know, these housewives are so busy, and I think one of the nicest things that she did is Bravo had a bake-off in 2015, and Dorinda, you know, agreed to be a guest judge. And she just came in for the day, ate a bunch of desserts, and named a winner.
Oh my God. I mean, we love a bake-off. I miss a bake-off.
And aside from her great show moments, I think one quote that doesn't get said enough, but should, is Dorinda said, "Martinis are like breasts. Two are great, three are too many."
That's good. That's good. I feel like you could also substitute breasts for nipples and make it just like general, you know, a little more general. Martinis are like nipples. Two are great. Three are too many. Or belly buttons. Well, I guess that's one. You should only have one belly button.
So this week we got a sneak peek at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. I know everyone's so excited about. And we just were so excited that we made a bonus episode reacting to it. So make sure to check that out.
I mean, needless to say, there is a lot of tension between these ladies right now.
And they all look so good.
I know they do. They really pulled it together. I mean, they always do. Like, they are just elevated in terms of fashion. Plus, we have the Below Deck Med After Show, which goes up every Monday after the episode on BravoTV.com and Bravo's YouTube channel. So if you guys haven't checked that out, please do. There's a lot of discussion after what happened with Hannah, Malia defending her actions, Hannah talking a little bit about her experiences this season, why Chef Kiko's departure had such an emotional toll on her. So if you want more Below Deck Med, you know where to find it. Okay, what are we talking today?
We have to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac, Karen's housewarming party.
Keyonce.
Yes. And then we had the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finale party.
I don't want it to end.
That last scene, though. My God. And then we have Real Housewives of New York City.
It's Dorinda's birthday.
Yes.
Plus, I got the chance to speak with Karen Huger from the Real Housewives of Potomac. Okay, Potomac first.
Please.
I want to point something out about Dr. Wendy that I'm curious your perspective on. Is there a bit of ageism going on here, the way she talks about Karen?
Because she's like, there's no way Karen's poppy pussin', like, pussy poppy. And a handstand.
That's a tongue twister.
Pussy popping and a handstand, right? But it's like, maybe she is Wendy. I hope I am.
It's like this persona that she's trying to put on of like, I'm still pussy popping on a handstand.
Right.
And, you know, her sex life with Ray has come up. And I think there's just been some really minor comments that Dr. Wendy has made so far that are really pointing out Karen's age. And I feel like watching it back, it must kind of hit Karen in a certain way because of everything that she's going through with Ray, where Ray is 20 years her senior. So he is kind of wanting to retire and settle down and slow down a bit, whereas Karen really feels like she's ramping up and still feels very like youthful in a lot of ways. So hearing those like tiny digs at her age, I would imagine that is probably causing a little bit more tension between the two of them at this point.
Can I tell you, I remember when Bravo was right about to announce Real Housewives of Potomac. And so we had this whole meeting and they brought in the production company that had made it, some of the EPs and stuff to talk about the show. And I remember when they described Karen, they described her as like a woman in her 50s who definitely dresses like she's in her late 20s. And that has always stuck with me because I think that she does sort of, I don't think she dresses like age inappropriate at all. It's more just she isn't ready to how do you say? Like me, I will be grasping on to every last thread of youth as I go. Like, I don't think I'm just going to one day decide to retire into muumuus.
Right, right. The crop tops and the booty shorts are going to continue for as long as possible for you.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine when you get to a certain age that some younger person's like, there's no way you're having sex. Ew. Like, that's terrible.
I know. Well, and you know what? I guess if we went back and reflected on maybe some of Karen's fashion choices from season one, we may see a little bit more of that descriptor. But I think, and you guys will hear this, we have an interview with Karen later on in the episode, and we talk a little bit about her confessional looks, her interview looks, because, you know, she has this old Hollywood glam look. She has the orange with like the short haircut that I really love and the sunset eye makeup, which is on a video on BravoTV.com, which is why I know sunset eyes.
I was like, my God, Eric.
really dissected these interview looks.
Someone's been watching a lot of makeup YouTube tutorials this quarantine.
Listen, but I feel like she has, many of the ladies on the show, evolved a lot in terms of her fashion.
Can I tell you really quick? I was thinking about this. I never necessarily thought of Giselle as a bad dresser until they started pointing it out, because I think she's so beautiful. That's what I noticed. But now I'm like, oh God, it's true.
Yeah, there are just a lot of questionable choices and like combinations of outfits that you're just kind of like, How did we get here? Like, I don't know. Well, and also speaking of Giselle, I loved seeing her with her daughter and doing the dance class. But I relate to her because I've talked about this on the show before, where I have rhythm but no coordination. So if you try to teach me like a number to remember, to retain, and then perform for you, it's not going to happen. So I loved that her daughter was like, oh God, mom, come on. But Giselle was like, whatever, I'm having fun. I'm channeling Beyonce. I'm channeling Rihanna. I'm channeling Lizzo. Like, let me have this. You know, I appreciated that at least.
I'm so stuck on that conversation with Grace. Grace is just in such that like angsty teen phase. Like, oh mom. You know,
I know. Don't you remember that though? When you see her behaving that way, can't you almost like feel like you know that feeling?
Yes. Like when you're just so uncomfortable in your skin, kind of thing, you know? And everyone makes you mad.
Right. Well, and especially everything that they're going through too, with their parents coming back together. Like that's a lot for someone that age who's already dealing with all of the other things that you deal with as a teenager. What did you think of Karen's singing Telegram invitation?
The grand dame has moved back.
Girl.
Come and celebrate and have a kinky moment. You guys are back in town and everyone should know it. Bubbles will be throwing.
What's going on?
To pull me down when we
Why should let that man in her house?
What was that? What was that?
I mean, it was a full-on Karen Huger, I am a housewife, let me be over the top with this celebration. And I just appreciated it. It was so absurd, and like the enormous chair and then his like medieval garb was just like so disconnected, but it like worked, you know?
I guess I was just confused on what the actual theme was, because it's like we had that and then we had the Beyonce dance at the end and it was just like, what? Like, what's the theme here?
Yeah, there didn't seem to be a through line in the whole experience, but it still seemed like a pretty good party.
Yeah.
We got an apology from Candace.
I can say to you that I understand that my opinion and the way that I opined was hurtful to you. So I do apologize for not being as sensitive as you needed me to be.
I appreciate that a lot, and I really needed to hear that.
I think that we are capable of moving forward.
Everyone just has to be willing to forgive. You can't keep holding on to things.
That is a thing that I'm working on, because it's not healthy to hold grudges.
I mean, it took long enough.
Right? But you know, like, it needed to happen.
By the way, though, Baby Dean is great to have at a confrontation. Like, he really knew the exact moments to just sort of step in and be like, ba 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 ba, and then they had to stop.
Right. I think that's a good learning lesson for anyone watching, or any housewives who are also watching. Like, bring a baby.
Bring a baby.
Bring a dog, maybe. Like, something that's going to, you know, do something at the right moment where it's going to cut the tension and you can kind of like take the minute to regroup. But definitely bring a baby, bring a dog. Maybe not a cat. I don't know if a cat would help.
I also think that they are both lying to themselves to think that they're going to be friends for real. Because too much has happened. Too much was said. How can you really ever go back on that? And the things that Candace has said about her husband and continues to say, I would never be able to forgive someone.
Right. And, you know, maybe it's less forgiveness and more just validating that what Candace did was wrong, and Candace knowing that and then just being able to move on from it. I don't know if Ashley would necessarily be like, great, now we can be friends and let's like hang out more and do things. You know, I don't think that's really what Ashley's looking for anyway. And you know, Candace just needs to try to, I think, learn from this and learn how to apologize. Like, I hope Candace walks away from that experience knowing that apologizing can help you and the other person. Like, I just hope she learns a lesson from it, but I don't know. We'll have to see. What did you think about, because I thought he was really on point and I was like, this guy should just become a therapist. Giselle's hairstylist.
Oh, yeah.
Cal.
He's great.
Oh, my God. I mean, he said all of the things that I feel like we've wanted to say to Giselle through this whole experience, but like we can't talk to our TV screen. So, you know, like, and he just really, obviously he knows her very well and he's seen what she's gone through in the past. And I think he's someone who can speak on it more so than maybe some of the other women on the show because of his closeness to Giselle. But I think he really nailed a lot of it. And I hope he, you know, really made her kind of step back and think a little bit about what's happening with Jamal.
Because what did he say?
I mean, he was basically trying to just like put it all into perspective for her as to, you know, why her kids have hesitation, why it's, you know, such a complicated thing to get back with someone who has hurt you like that and how you can justify that. Because you're going to have to explain that to people. You know, people are going to have their doubts. So how do you move past that internally and then show it externally? I think he got kind of like meta about it, you know?
I also just feel like the thing that we don't really talk enough about, and I get why, but it's not like where it's just someone cheated on you and you need to learn to move past it. He has children who are products of these affairs, no?
Allegedly.
So that seems hard. That just seems like a very confusing layer.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that is let's think back at Candace's wedding last season where she invited her half-brother and her mom was furious about it because she was like, he is a reminder of the affair that your father had, you know? But Candace is like, but it's also my brother, you know? So like, I want him to be a part of my life. I know what he reminds you of, but if you've forgiven my father and moved on from that, then you need to accept that like he's a person too.
It's sort of the equivalent of closing your eyes and thinking something doesn't exist because you can't see it. Like,
right.
It's a person. Are more family members going to be folded into the mix?
Why not? The more the merrier. All right, well, let's talk about Karen's party.
Oh, gosh, yes.
What did you think when Robin brought the pizza?
So, like, I thank God Karen laughed. You know, it could just really go a different way. I mean, I guess I think it's funny. I can see how maybe, like, I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. But I guess if someone was trying to discredit you and say that you don't actually live somewhere you say you do, like, maybe it is a sensitive thing.
But don't you think if it had been Giselle, it would have been received a lot differently?
Yeah, 1,000%. She would have been asked to leave.
Yeah, because Karen talks about it in the interview later on about the things that Giselle has done over the years, like wearing the shirt, you know, to that event that was about Ray when there were some issues with like the Texas.
Gosh, yes.
And just like over the years, the small things that Giselle has done, which she says she's being funny. Karen doesn't receive it that way and never has. So I think maybe at this point, Giselle has learned what she can get away with when it comes to Karen. But I feel like Robin is still in a position where she can be a little bit more playful. And Karen did receive it as, you know, a funny thing. And Karen was like, I would have brought my own pizza too. I should have thought of that.
She also, like, I think everyone just loves Robin. It's very easy to love Robin.
Yeah. What did you think of the Beyonce, Keyonce entrance?
Go Karen! Go Karen! Go Karen!
Karen has lost her mind. She looked like Pepto-Bismol. Pink Barney, my little pony.
Again, what's the theme? I'm not really getting it. But like she wanted to have a moment. So like, I guess she got her moment.
Do you think that the women were making observations about Ray not really being a part of it?
Like, this isn't really Ray's party. I think that's always the case. Like, even as we're going to talk about the Beverly Hills like finale party, that's really Dorit's party. She's making the speech. Like, PK doesn't care, you know? Yeah. I think that women that are the kind of women who are on Real Housewives love attention. Let them have a moment.
I guess even, you know, comparing it to Beverly Hills too, like Kyle very often throws parties. And yeah, sure, Mauricio is like a host with her, whatever. But it always feels like it's Kyle's party. You know, it's like always owned by the housewife in charge more so than the family, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So next week we get our first mini trip of the season, and it seems like T'Challa makes an impression on another cast member, not just Karen this time.
Oh my God. Can I tell you, I've already seen this part and I rewinded it and rewatched it like 3 times. It was so good.
Give him a cherry blossom.
They have glasses of champagne in their intros.
Give and him a glass of champagne. He is the other housewife.
There are actually a few memes floating around of him with like an opening, you know, tagline and in the opening credit. Oh, I love that. So yeah, there are people who are really leaning into T'Challa. And I also asked Karen about her little rivalry with him in that interview. So you'll hear what she has to say. It's fun. So I got the chance to speak with the Grand Dame of Potomac, Karen Huger. We talked a little bit about how Rihanna showed up to her Instagram Live a few weeks ago, exactly how she felt about the ladies, throwing a little bit of shade about her housewarming party and the fact that Ray wasn't really involved. And of course, we talk about Giselle. Here's that interview. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with one of my all-time faves, and that is the Grand Dame of Potomac, Karen Huger. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you. I wish we were together in person.
You and I both, but that day will come soon, hopefully.
That's true. Okay, first of all, before we get into anything Potomac related, I need to ask, how did you feel when Rihanna popped into your Instagram Live?
Rihanna is iconic. Of course, I was shaking in my boots. I'm so honored and so grateful that she acknowledged, and you know, it just says, you know, women lifting women, empowering women. She said, I'm doing a great job, and I'm like, yes, thank you, Riri.
Now, we know that she's a Bravo fan, but did you have any idea that she watched your show?
I had no idea that she watched our show, and you know, pretty much got into what it was that I'm, you know, giving throughout the years, and I really appreciate it. So yes, Riri is a RHOP fan. Hallelujah.
And I did notice too, there were some people who did some deep dives, because you know how the fans get. They do a lot of research, and you are actually one of the only Bravo celebrities that she follows. She only follows a handful.
I know. So I'm extremely honored, and I have been following her forever. I just think she's so intelligent. Not only is she an artist, but she's one heck of a businesswoman, and I just love to see that in the young Black women today, and she's doing a dang thing. So yes.
I'm going to be getting some of that Fenty skincare, okay? Because I know she has a line for men.
Don't we all need it? Oh my God, her skin is just like porcelain. I love it.
Well, speaking of looking amazing, you look amazing in all of your interview looks. So I want to talk about how you and your team come up with these different looks, especially the sunset eyes, the short hair, the orange. Like, talk about how you guys develop those.
You know what? I give my team an idea about what I want to wear. And I have to give credit to the young talent that's around me. They lift me, they listen to me, and I let them have freedom in expressing what they think will complement what I wear. So it's a team effort, and we pull it together, and I'm just so proud of them. And, you know, again, it takes a village, and I have a village and a powerfully talented village of glam people around me. So thank you guys.
I really like the Black, like Hollywood glam look that you guys have going on.
Oh my God. I'm a big fan of Hollywood glam, old Hollywood. So I'm paying homage to that when you see me in the Black. So again, I picked the top and they just went with it. I mean, they are just so talented and they get me.
Yeah.
What I love about it is, you know, they're young folk, you know, and some of them, one of them in particular is young enough to be my son. but it's interesting that age is not a barrier.
Yeah.
It's when you're creative and you're trusting, that's when you fly. That's when you soar. And you know, the fans seem to love it. And I really appreciate, you know, their comments and their support. So again, I thank my team. It's a team effort.
And it's also like, I feel like there are so many memeable moments from your interviews that like, I'm just always seeing like GIFs of you and like memes, which I'm not complaining, but it's just like, okay. I always get to see it.
you know, I am just being real, just being myself. This is reality TV and I give reality and I have a sense of humor, but I do have the gift for gab. And it just comes and I'm like, let's nail it. I just go with it. And if it's appropriate, I just, you know, embrace it and own the moment. And the viewers and the fans, they get it. And I thank the fans for their love and support. They actually live for it and they encourage me to keep it going. So I know that I don't, you know, it's not prepared. It's it's just all me, natural in the moment.
Right. It's yeah. all Karen. It's just all Karen. Well, a lot of people this season are talking about and making jokes about this real rivalry, and that is you and T'Challa. So let's talk about this. Are you just not really a bird person?
Look, T'Challa and I are, you know, love hate. You know, I don't do feathers, but I love Monique, and I'm learning to love T'Challa. I call him T'Choppa, by the way, because he looks like he can chop down on you at any moment. So I keep my distance. It's about respect. We're going to get there. We're just not there yet. He needs to stay on the leash. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And he didn't stay on the leash. And I was freaking out. Earlier last week?
Yes.
When T'Challa went missing, I felt so bad. But then he came back like a full day later.
Well, let me tell you, I fully participated in finding T'Choppa. Yes. Oh, Lord. You got to talk to Monique. I called her. I said, what can I do? Can you bring over some food to set out at my front door? I was on my patio calling T'Choppa. And I actually thought I heard him. So I knew he would come back. It's a very smart bird. Okay. Ray and I were out there calling his name. Yes, we participated in the rescue of T'Choppa. And we were so glad when he returned home the next day. I told Monique he just went to the hood, came back, and he wanted his mansion back.
Right. Well, I feel like there's like a children's book in there somewhere. Like, what happened to T'Challa in that, you know, 12, you know, however many hours he was gone? Like, what did he experience?
Oh, did you see him after it though? He looked pretty rough. He looked like
he had been through something.
Yeah, poor baby. Now he appreciates his home. It's like a child. You got to show him what they're missing. He made his way home.
No, it's true. Okay, well, let's get into everything else that's going on this season. At the very beginning, first episode, Candace asked you to give advice at her anniversary party. So were you surprised that she called you up to the mic, or did you know that she was going to ask you to speak?
You know what? I'm always going to be there for Candace when it comes to her marriage. And so I'm honored that she asked me. Was I surprised? A little bit, because she knew that Ray and I were going through a rough patch at that time. So I was honored that she did it. And I was true to myself. I was true to what was going on with Ray and I. And we were like, we'll be here for you, you know? So it was a real moment. And I was very honored that she asked me, because Ray and I have been at this for going on 24 years.
Yeah. Well, you have been very open this season about your relationship struggles with Ray. So how have the other ladies supported you through that experience? Like, has Candace been there for you through that?
You know, Candace had a lot on her plate this season. And to the extent that she could be there for me, she was there initially. Monique has always been there. And then Ray and I put in the work. And that's something we're really proud to bring to the viewers and to fans this year, because, you know, people respect our institution, if you will, of marriage. And it's really important to own even the best of marriages go through, and it's how you work it out. So, mm-hmm. You know, you've got to work at this thing. And Ray and I are so honored to have shared that moment with fans. So, you know, if they're young and newly married, or if they're 25 years or in or more, this can help them as well. So we were very raw, very honest, and it's pretty painful, but it's based on love. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Well, right. And you said on Watch What Happens Live that especially through the quarantine and the lockdown and everything, you two were forced to spend more time together. So did you find that that actually really helped nurture your relationship?
Absolutely. I mean, look, when you're one-on-one 24/7, you've got to find a way to communicate. And it has helped us, because we are finding different ways. Love communication, you know, friend communication, just patience, just the milk of human kindness to one another. So it has been a blessing in disguise to go through quarantine with Ray.
And so the two of you today, all is well?
You got to stay tuned.
You're like, I'll never tell.
I'll never tell.
Another thing that you mentioned on Watch What Happens Live was that fatherhood looks good on Michael Darby. So are you in a better place with him than you were, let's say, last season?
I think I've been very clear about where I am, what I chose to do. Fatherhood looks great on Michael Darby. It really does. I see a different side of him that I've never seen before, but my focus is on Baby Dean. I just fell in love with Baby Dean. He has such a kind spirit, and motherhood looks great on Ashley. And I just love the growth I see in that family since Baby Dean came. So I'm rooting for them.
How have you seen Ashley change since becoming a mom?
She's wiser. She's more open. She is more, she's still Ashley now. Hold on. She's still Ashley. But with this beauty about her that only, you know, she could have done herself, and it's personal growth that she garnered, and she owns it. And having a child, you know, is that kind of gift. sometimes, you know, and it looks good on Ashley.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about her a lot through the, you know, pandemic and everything, because this season we've seen her be so nervous with the baby and she's thinking of all these things. And, you know, throughout watching these episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope she's doing okay through this pandemic. Because for a new mom, you know, I mean, we've all been going through it, but for someone who's a new mom, it must be, you know, extra scary.
Well, you know, I think what probably is going to be interesting is to see how Ashley and I bond as mothers. It doesn't matter if you're a new mom or a mom of a 30-year-old. This pandemic is frightening to all mothers. And that's something Ashley and I now share. I am deeply worried about my children, even though they're grown. So, you know, when you have that thing in common that is the love for a child, it certainly does afford you a bridge to get over anything that may have bothered you or you thought was important in the past, because the pandemic has put everything in perspective for most people.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and we're seeing Candace go through it this season at mm-hmm. this point, you know, talking mm-hmm. about the experience of motherhood. So do you think she's watched everyone else now have babies? I mean, a lot of you have, you know, grown children, but a lot of the women on the show have younger kids. So it must be mm-hmm. hard for her to watch everybody go through that and not totally know if she's prepared. So how have you talked to Candace about, you know, that journey of becoming a mom?
You know, I haven't had a personal one-on-one. I like the viewers. I'm watching her go through this. I know she has the desire. She did express that, but we haven't gone any further than that. And I think when it's time, the right time is for Candace, you know, will make that decision to become a mom.
Right.
As we all do.
Yeah.
And have.
It's mm-hmm. got to be right for them at that time.
It has to be right for Candace. Yeah. And I'm rooting for her and Chris. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah. A major player in the drama so far this season is Charisse. So what is your relationship like with her?
I didn't have any, you know, type of communication with Charisse. I acknowledge that she was there. I'm just more concerned with what Giselle is putting down when she's with Charisse. Okay.
Right.
Oh, you know, Giselle, I think that's a better question for Giselle, because they seem to have, you know, this bond now that brought Charisse around. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of your interview, but it is an interesting thing to watch. And I got my hands full with Giselle, so not much personal time with Charisse lately.
Yeah. Well, the sip and see party at Ashley's got, you know, pretty heated, pretty intense. I mean, we saw people storming out. So was it just kind of awkward being in the room for that? I mean, it must have been kind of uncomfortable.
I call it the, you know, I call it, I sip and I saw. That was the moment, if you saw, when I raised my one finger, it all came together for me. I understood why Charisse was there. I understood why Giselle was asking Charisse, what did she do to Monique? Mm-hmm. And Giselle was hiding her hands in this horrible rumor that's going around. So that was an aha moment for me. I sip and I saw, and I wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it was revolting. It was disgusting. And, you know, that rumor, and we're talking about the one that involves the Samuels this season.
Yeah.
I had heard about it in season 4.
Oh.
I wanted nothing to do with it then. I want nothing to do with it now, because I believe that you don't try and destroy a family.
Of course.
And I want nothing to do with that. And especially when it's unfounded and not true. It's just despicable.
Yeah. You were like, I'm not getting my hands dirty with this one.
No, that is I'm done. I want my food.
A sip and I saw and I'm out.
That's right. Well, actually I stayed through the whole thing, you know, because it was important for me, because I couldn't believe, again, 4th season, I knew that Giselle wanted this to be part of Monique's storyline. And I had said, I will not participate in that. And she was carrying her child then. And so for me to see it resurface its ugly head at that moment again, I thought it was over with. I thought, you know, everyone accepted it wasn't true. We're not going to follow this. And to see Giselle and to hear Giselle in confessionals and on Watch What Happens Live toss this out again about the Samuel family, just I'm sick to my stomach over it. And it's not true, which is so damaging and unfortunate. But yeah, it was an awakening moment for me that I'm very proud to say that I have never in 5 years of being a housewife needed to tear down anyone in order to stand up or to garner any type of attention. I just bring me. So, I want nothing to do with that.
Well, a lot of people seem to have reservations this season when it comes to Giselle's relationship with Jamal, and that includes their own daughters. So what is your take on the two of them getting back together?
You know what? I mind my business, but listen, Giselle has done. I hate making my interviews about Giselle, but you know, we have the longest relationship, one of the longest relationships on the show. And so I'm going to try and keep this sweet and short. You know, I heard that Giselle said that Karen has done things to me this season that I would never do to her. And, you know, I have to say, I have not done anything to Giselle ever, but be sure she sure as hell has done a lot to me. And I didn't print a t-shirt, you know, berating her man when she went back to him. Giselle did, though. She did that with Ray. I didn't call this man that she's now dating, the father of her children, out of his name. Giselle called my husband Uncle Ben. I think Giselle just needs to be grateful that I even speak to her. Don't go around saying I've done something to you when I haven't. What I've done is I've held you accountable this year. Things are different for me. Of course, we all grow and we mature, and I just don't, you know, I just don't play that game with her that, you know, letting her put a battery pack on you and wind you up. You know, some people do. She cannot wind me up at all. And it's not any, you know, is there any jealousy, any hate or anything like that? None of that. It's just, it's about respect and grow up. And that's what I'm coming with. So anyway.
Well, there you go. There you go. And that's that on that. We were moving on past Giselle. Let's get past
Okay,
that.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, I want to talk about new housewife Dr. Wendy. We've seen some tension between you guys this season so far. So what is at the root of that tension?
Okay, I can't give everything away. And I really don't know how much Bravo is going to share. Of course, Wendy and I had a little of a rocky beginning early in the season. But I believe that what Wendy is confused about when I say I'm not impressed with her. She's very confused about it. I'm not talking about Wendy's accolades, her academic achievements. I am extremely proud of this woman. She is doing the dang thing, academically. That is not what I'm not impressed with about Wendy. And Wendy knows that. So I say stay tuned.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, so far I really like her. I've really taken to her, but I can see what you're saying about it's no shade to her accomplishments, but I guess we'll see exactly what.
Yeah, we'll see how far, you know, production and Bravo wants to go with that. And if not, you know, I think that viewers staying tuned will still love how grown women move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Dr. Wendy, too, and T'Challa, I think we see a preview coming up that there is an attack. There's a bit of an attack.
Yes. And Wendy's going to watch when he says I stick the bird on her, right? I did not. It's an interesting scene. I think everyone's going to get a hoot out of that one.
Yeah. Pun intended, right? A hoot.
Yep. A pun intended. Exactly.
Let's talk about your housewarming. What an epic party. What did you think about Robin bringing the pizza?
You know what? I thought it was super funny. I thought she was hilarious, you know, because to be honest with you, we grow, most of us grow on this cast. And I expected her to do it, to be honest. They can't pull anything over my eyes, you know, no wool over my eyes, no shade.
Right.
So when she bought it, I called my very dear friend Robin up and I said, Robin, let's have a piece of pizza. You know, it's a different day and time. I think when they did it initially, you know, my mother was sick and that was very inappropriate and insensitive. Mm-hmm. This was a celebration. This was my party. This was my, you know, coming back to Potomac. And nothing was going to dampen that. So I was ready for that. I would have bought the pizza myself, to be honest, and served it to them. But Robin beat me to the punch on that one.
Right. Well, you already had everything all catered and set up. And, you know, one thing about the party is that the ladies kept pointing out that, like, Ray wasn't really part of the theme. Like, he wasn't in the singing telegram invitation. There were lots of letter K's everywhere. So, I mean, you know.
Well, see, when your man loves you and you're going through, he lets you throw the party,
right?
And Ray and I are so, Ray could care less about a K or an R being on a cookie. Let's just be real. We were going through real stuff at the time and we were making sure that we, you know, had our friends that loved us around us. And, you know, I think it's interesting to watch the girls take digs after they eat my food and drink my liquor.
That's
so
a good point.
Next. Okay. Stop eating my food. Stop drinking my liquor. And you don't have to come but I wanted them there, to be honest. And I'm used to them. They don't ruffle my feathers. You know, I see them coming and it's just so funny. You know, I guess it's because I am the mature one. And to see them go through these antics and say these things behind my back instead of having a conversation to my face about it. Now, I will say that about Jizzy. Jizzy will talk to me. She'll ask me about it, you know, but Ray and I, we're not sweating any K's or any R's on cupcakes.
Right, right. And I mean, there was the little like Beyonce performance that you gave in the pink too. And they were like, well, why wasn't he her Jay-Z? But I'm sort of like, you know what? Let Karen have her moment, okay?
Well, you know what? I'm hoping. I have all the pictures to prove it. Ray was beyond my Jay-Z that night, okay? So I will be sharing tons and tons of pictures and the moments that Ray and I had. We had such a great time. But whenever you know, hey, look, guys, when I throw a party, of course, the girls love to come and eat my food, drink my liquor, and talk about me like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I love it. They just lift me even higher. And I'm like, go for it, girl, because let's see you throw a party like that.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
and leave my hat alone. Yes, it was. How'd you like the hat? Did you like the hat?
I love the hat.
That thing was so painful, though. Oh, my God.
Was it?
Yes, it was made of cardboard, but I was like, yes, and it was painted. Oh, so God. I really got into this party because I knew that so many negative things were going on in our circle that I needed to bring a ray of fun and you know, hey, and I can take it. What can I say? I could take it.
Yeah, well, I think you did.
I did.
It seemed like everybody had a great time.
But I am glad, I'm glad they did, and I'll do it again.
Another house.
It was like a wedding, if you think about it. All the flowers. Oh my God. We just did so many flowers. I just loved it. I was like, right? This has got to come, and pull at Ray's heartstrings, So after we got rid of the guests, you can imagine we said, I do again.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, well, to ourselves, but not right away, okay? Okay, right. It's a moment.
You reference at one point throughout the party, how you guys are empty nesters now. So how are your kids doing? Can you give us any updates on how they are?
They are fantastic. Brandon has an impressive career going on for himself in IT. Raven is wrapping up her master's this fall. And I couldn't be prouder of my children and the love and support. And it's sort of great to have adult children. I'm so blessed that, they are grown, and they were grown, by the way, when Ray and I hit this impasse, and they were so cool with us. And they said, look, you guys have been great parents, but what we don't want is you to stay together because of us. And they were like rooting for us, but they were like, look, I want you to be happy. That's when you raise your children right. And they love you and they respect you enough to say, look, don't do it for me. Do it for you all. You guys deserve the best. And so I'm so lucky to have them as kids.
Yeah. Well, at a certain age, too, I feel like, kids teach their parents, or help raise their parents.
They do. They were so freaking cool. And Rick and I were looking at each other like we were having a serious conversation with you all. And they simply just went back to the foundation we gave them as children and to operate from a place of love and not selfishness when they had to look at their mom and dad struggling for a moment. And they were like, you guys take care of yourselves first. You've done a great job. We're going to love both of you regardless. And that helps so tremendously. And that's why it's important to raise your children properly.
Of course. Yeah.
Because you're right. They become your teachers. And you want to be the author of what they teach you, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right. How is everything going with LaDom?
LaDom is, oh my God, I'm still so blessed. I'm in HSN. I've got a huge announcement and I'll share it with you. So here's breaking news. I will be in the stores of Bloomingdale's. I was doing pop-ups initially.
Oh, wow.
And now I will be, in the stores of Bloomingdale. And
Karen, congratulations.
Thank you so much. So I'm still working, and I want to thank the fans for their support, because website sales, LaDomFragrance.com, is blowing up. And I just feel the love, and I'm so grateful, because as you know, this was a testament to the relationship I had with my mother, that fragrance. So to see it do so well in a pandemic, and it's hard. It's hard to be in business right now, small business at that. So I don't take anything for granted, and I am just honored. I'm just honored.
That's so amazing. Look at that. You are the moment, Karen.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now, is there anything else up your sleeve? I mean, with the success of LaDom, is there anything else you're working on?
Well, I expanded the brand, and RPG Show Wigs came on board, and we collaborated together. So I have a fully arsenal platinum blonde.
Of course.
Offered in every color, though. I didn't want to just have blonde hair. I found my blonde. Not every woman wants to be a blonde.
That's true.
So I'm so honored that RPG Show saw what I was creating. And Stephen Thomas is the creative collaborator on that line with me, who does my hair. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so proud of what we've accomplished. And I will continue to expand my LaDom brand, which is a beauty brand. So, the sky's the limit. Let's just get through this pandemic safely and, mm-hmm. and successfully and still have your business intact.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. See, look at that. You're going to be like Rihanna. It's going to be like Fenty and LaDom.
Oh my God. Look, only hope. I can only hope. I'll take 1% of what Riri's putting down. Okay.
Right.
She's an icon.
Ain't that the truth? Well, Karen, thank you so much. This was so fun talking to you. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to hear everything's going well. And
thank you.
I'm sure that we will have to have you back on a little bit later this season because I know there's a lot more to come.
Oh, so much more. And again, thank you for having me. And of I look course. Forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so
Stay
much,
healthy,
Karen.
Stay healthy, be safe.
Thank you. You too. Should we do Beverly Hills?
So I guess, you know, there had been a lot of chatter before Beverly Hills season even started that Denise stopped filming with the group. It doesn't feel like there's any sort of absence. Like Denise is prominent in most, in all episodes, basically. But maybe this is the time period that people were referring to is around this party.
Definitely. I mean, it's interesting because it does feel like the season's wrapping up, right? At this point, we know that.
Well, it's the finale.
Right. Yeah. But like, it also, I feel like we all thought Denise was going to stop shooting earlier and it's really that she just didn't come to this final
party. Yeah. So I guess it just was making sense. Like, okay, so now is the period, but how long was that even? But it is interesting to see how she just sort of dropped out and like is even leaving Garcelle hanging, literally. Like, I am your friend. We have plans and I'm outside your house. Where are you? You know, that's crazy.
Your call has been forwarded.
What if she's not coming?
Like, is the phone ringing?
No, it's going straight to voicemail.
Doesn't that happen when your phone's off?
Your call has been forwarded.
Come on, Denise.
I was surprised that she pulled that with Garcelle, but I think her explanation of I didn't want to put you in a position where you had to lie for me, but I think she is in protective mode over herself, her image, her family, the whole thing. But I was surprised to find out that she kind of put Garcelle on the outside of that, because it did seem like throughout this season she did lean on Garcelle as an ally and someone who like understood a little bit more of her position in the grand scheme of things.
Well, and I will say, I do get where Denise was coming from because, okay, Brandy shows up at the party and Dorita's like, Kyle, what the f-? Kyle's like, no, I didn't invite her.
I agree.
But all that Denise sees from her perspective is she was getting ready to go to this party and Brandy texts her and says, by the way, I'll see you tonight. Of course she's not going to go.
I sent her a text. I was like, I'm going to see you tonight. I assumed she would be here, so I sent her a text giving her a heads up. I think if her and I could just sit down together and have a conversation without everyone involved, it's just no one else's business.
I know. And so why would Brandy even give her that heads up?
Oh, I know. It makes me so mad.
It doesn't really make sense. And I understand why Denise in that moment would feel like this is a setup. I'm being set up. Someone told Brandy to come. At least Brandy gave her the heads up, I guess.
That okay, but see, I'm going to say, I think that's a check in the box for Brandy is being sincere. Because if she was really doing this, as some people have said, so she can get screen time, you wouldn't tell Denise. You would wait and surprise her and ambush her.
That's true. I mean, we've seen that happen on this show, on many shows before.
Yes.
Well, the other thing that I'm curious about, because obviously the very final scene with Denise and Rinna was incredible. I mean, come on.
So what can we do to move past this?
Did you know that Brandy was going to be there?
I did not.
You really did not know Brandy was going to be at that party?
I did not know who was going to be at that party. Did you know Brandy was going to be at that party?
Yes, I did. That is why I didn't show up. I did not want to go and have her create some Jerry Springer moment.
So there wasn't a family emergency?
No, there was not.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, we were worried about you. You have to know that. Because you didn't respond to me or even that night or that next day. You never.
I responded to Dorit.
I said
Garcelle.
Me. I don't care about Dorit and Garcelle.
I did not get your text.
I have a screenshot of the
okay.
text.
That's fine. The reality is what it is. The reality is.
Well, the reality is you said family emergency.
Because.
You lied. That's a lie. What's going on here, it's not my business.
There is nothing going on. Why don't you believe me?
I don't know what exactly what I believe, to be really honest with you.
Lisa.
But from what we learn in this episode is that there have been cease and desist letters sent to members of the cast and producers. But obviously, Rinna was not one of those people because...
Because I don't think the cease and desist was sent to cast, was it? Or was it just producers?
In the black card that they show on the screen, it says cast and producers. So it sounds like she didn't get one. Rinna didn't get one because Denise is like, how do you know that? So obviously somebody told Rinna, whether it was a cast member or a producer or something, but Rinna wasn't one of them.
Oh, I bet it was a producer.
So I'm wondering who among the cast... probably Brandy. I mean, she would be like the first person, if I were Denise, that I would send a cease and desist letter to.
Yeah, because I think who else could you even send it to? Maybe
Teddy?
Teddy? But I feel like Teddy would say something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Teddy. I don't know who else. I mean, it has to be Brandy, right? But it wasn't Rinna, which I'm kind of surprised about. But I feel like Denise was holding on to whatever friendship she feels like she has left with Rinna. So she made the choice to not send her one, because Rinna wasn't, I guess, really perpetuating any of these rumors. She just like really wasn't showing up to warn Denise or help Denise or really be there for Denise through the whole thing. But I mean, that final scene between the two of them, that was intense.
It's chilling.
At this point, I do feel like I don't know where I stand a little bit.
I think it's never going to be right that something private that happened between Denise and Brandy has come out in this way. Like, it's never, it's such a violation of, like, it's complicated, but like, my story is mine to share, you know? And so for someone else to share it for me is not okay. Once you are in that position, I think it's like Rinna said, the cover up is worse than the crime, because otherwise it'd be like, fine. Like, you are an open person who does things, you know, and like, cool. Like, you hooked up with Brandy. That's fine. That's cool. Like, great. It's just the constant lying and lying and lying and throwing other people under the bus. Like, that just, it feels so manipulative.
Yeah. Yeah. And at this point, we're kind of at a stalemate, right? There's nowhere to go from here. It feels like going into the reunion, we're probably not going to get any kind of closure from Denise. And we're really never going to know for sure what the truth was. I'm curious about these text messages that Denise claims that she has, that she's sitting on between her and Brandy, between her and Rinna, apparently. So, you know, I think there have been questions about the text messages Brandy has presented. I've seen a lot of internet sleuths zooming in and screenshots and things where there's some questions about the credibility of what Brandy has presented. But if there's evidence that Denise has that would vindicate her, then why is she sitting on them, and is she lying about it?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I could be wrong. I feel like what it is more so is, like, even you and I have texts that it would not be good for either of us if, like, one of us decided to, you know, blast them out. That's true of anyone's private conversations. And I feel like she's saying, if you're trying to embarrass me, I will embarrass the fuck out of you.
Right.
So, like, don't go into my texts or I'll go into yours.
That's true. Because of all the things that Denise has allegedly said via text, Brandy had to have said some questionable things herself.
Well, and then also to know that, like, I'm sure she's had conversations with Rinna where Rinna is just talking. It's not like an abnormal thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. So complicated.
I know. I will point out just some of my, you know, faves this season. Garcelle, Sutton. I love that Sutton came through at the end with this private jet for everybody to go to New York. Like, that. Sutton has just shown time and time again that she is money. Like, she just is a rich, rich person. She gave Dorit a housewarming and was like, oh, it's just something little. She brought everybody those hunter boots in Rome. Like, she just is a rich bitch. And I love it. Like, I love it. I hope she comes back next season. If there's next season, of course.
I do too. And as a housewife, like, even though she can't have the kids on, I think that we should still make her a housewife.
Absolutely. She has earned her diamond in my eyes. And also shout out to Garcelle, because this episode between her flirting with the guy who worked at the catering company where she was like, weren't you at Kyle's? And then she's like, oh, he is fine. Like, I was just like, oh my God. I was like, I mean, she talked about how she hadn't had sex in like 7 years after her divorce.
She was tight as hell.
I mean, this poor woman, like, I hope this chocolate Michael that she was dating at least gave her some good sex for the time that they were together. But we know now that she's, I think, a single lady. Or is she dating someone now? I actually don't know.
I don't know.
She should be. I mean, she needs a fine man because she is a fine lady. You know, they've been my MVPs this season, I think, between Sutton and Garcelle, you know, and they're new. And I wasn't sure in the beginning how I was going to feel about them. It takes a little while to get into the rhythm of these new people and this new presence on the show. But I really think by the end, they showed up in a lot of ways.
I have to say, Erica Jane has really grown on me. This season, I do feel like we got such a more authentic, genuine version. It's not just this like over the top alter ego, you know, her and Tom, like seeing a lot more of Tom, seeing, you know, where she used to work and like this full circle moment for her. I just have been very happy with her, and I'm glad she was here this season.
She definitely has peeled back the layers more, right? I mean, even on social media, sharing that picture of her son a few months back for the first time, being like, people say we look alike. And it was the first time we had really ever seen him, you know, or she had ever really spoken about him in such a way. And like you said, talking about Tom and her relationship with his kids. And I think this whole Chicago going back to New York storyline really did speak to Erica as a person. And like you said, not the alter ego, because there is something, and I think you'll understand this being a New Yorker too, there is something about like walking these streets that makes you feel like, damn, like I have made it, or I have purpose, or I'm doing something. And sometimes it doesn't always feel that way, right? Like sometimes New York kicks your ass, or it's winter and you're miserable and whatever. But I really connected with Erica when she talked about, like, I had my backpack on and I'm walking to the theater every day. And like, she got to experience New York in a way that she always wanted to as someone younger.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel that way about the city sometimes too. I think about when I was in high school and I came here for the first time and I was like, I want to live in New York one day.
Yeah.
You know, and then you finally do it. And sometimes you take your life for granted a bit, but I feel like Erica is really doubling down on like, I am so grateful. I'm so appreciative of this experience. It is a dream come true. And I feel bad that it got cut short because of the pandemic. Like, that sucks.
I know.
People said she was really good. Okay, Real Housewives of New York City, it's Dorinda's birthday. And I want to talk about Dorinda because we have been watching, Danny and I have been watching season 7. And it's, I believe that's Dorinda's first season, right?
Yes.
Her anger has, without question, gotten worse over the years. And we do see it a little bit in season 7 when they're on vacation and she does drink too much and she kind of snaps at Heather. And, you know, there is like, there's something there that I recognize, right? Because of what we've seen Dorinda go through in the last couple of years. But there's definitely a huge change. And I don't blame the women for, you know, having these conversations like, what can we do? How can we help her? Like, this is getting bad, you know? And she also just continues to not really listen when they try to help her. Like, I did say that Ramona was overreacting a bit when she freaked out before, but I'm a little bit like, she did kind of have a point.
So I think part of what it is we always assumed, and you know, I'm speaking for everyone, but I always thought it was a result of the alcohol. Dorinda gets angry when she's had too much to drink, you know, hence that Heather Thompson argument her first season, hence like her going off on that guy, like Bethany's charity guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then now it's this season. Oh, it's not the alcohol because you're sober and you're still super mad.
Right. I mean, it's definitely, I think, the stress of having to remodel Bluestone Manor. It's probably the stress of going through what she's going through with John, which he comes to her birthday party and, you know, kind of gives this speech, which I think shows that they are still have, they still have a healthy relationship, a healthy friendship. But it is just kind of interesting that, like, that's her ex, you know? And he's at this, like, intimate dinner. I mean, it wasn't super intimate. There were a lot of people there, but it was still, I mean, it was still intimate. She was like, these are my favorite people. Like, I, you know, I understand why he's there. But obviously there's layers and it's a little bit complicated maybe for her, and it's not so black and white. So maybe it's just, like, the general stress of, like, what she's going through. And maybe it's a little bit of, remember Carol's last season? And everybody was kind of like, you know, Carol is kind of maybe going through a midlife crisis and she just broke up with Adam. And, you know, she has all of these things that she's going through. Maybe that's what's happening with Dorinda right now.
Mm, it's true. I mean, for sure. It's just no matter what, though, you can't make everyone else's life miserable.
Yeah, right, right. She also, you know, there is a bit of a double standard, I think, with Dorinda when it comes to things. Because at the birthday dinner, we see Luann be like, Dorinda, hey, get off your phone because you got mad at us for trying to work when we were on vacation. And
yes.
And she's like, well, I'm helping Sonia. I'm closing her apps. Her phone keeps dying. And I 100% believe that Sonia is the type of person who has never closed an app at all on her phone. She's left every single, you know this, you know it. You know she leaves every like tab on the browser open in her phone. And it's just like, she's like, why is my phone dying? You know, it's like, that is such a characteristic of Sonia that I
for sure
wholeheartedly believe, you know. But also, you know, I understood the point Luann was trying to make, right? Be present. This is your birthday. Get off your phone. But also it's like, it's her birthday. Like, do you really need to start blowing up her spot like that? And, you know, if you're talking about how angry Dorinda's been lately, maybe try to do things that aren't going to trigger her and make her more angry.
True.
What is your stance on phones at the dinner table?
I guess it depends who I'm with.
Well, I mean, I think it does depend, right?
If I'm bored, I'm going to get on my phone. But hopefully, like, no, I mean, I do think it's rude. You shouldn't be on your phone ever.
Yeah. You know, it is difficult because we have to a little bit accept that technology has, whether we like it or not, infiltrated many, if not all, aspects of our lives, right?
Yeah.
Can you put your phone down and be present for a little while? And do you owe that to the company that you're with? 100%. But, you know, it's almost like it's just a habit. It's almost like an addiction, you know? Like, I feel like we're all just so used to reaching for our phones. And you know what I actually compare it to? Mm. When I was younger and I used to smoke cigarettes, I always really loved like being at a social event and being able to like take a moment to step back and go outside and have a smoke. And there were always less people out there. So it sort of helped manage like your social experience. You know, if you had a bit of social anxiety, you could take a break and there was a reason you had a reason. So I wonder if I've substituted that now at this point in my life by just like reaching for my phone when there's, you know, a lull in conversation and there's not much more to say. Like, do you just like check your phone because it's just like you don't know what else to do?
I will say I think it got out of control for me in like the last year. Quarantine, I hope, has sort of fixed it. I guess we'll see. Because now I'm just like, I crave human interaction. I don't need a phone. But I do feel like I got so bad at it. I always say I think I have a lower tolerance than most people for boredom, though. And just the second I'm not having fun, I think it becomes really clear. And that's not good. I'm not saying it is, but I just hate being bored. And I hate like a lull in a conversation. Or you guys are talking about something I don't care about. Like, it's just so easy to reach for the phone.
But I do appreciate that you always express your boredom and you're like, okay, guys, this is boring. Can we talk about something else? Or let's go here or do that. You know, like, yeah. I appreciate that because some people are more passive in that and they'll just like let things be boring. But you're always like, nope, I don't right. accept this. We're moving on. We're going to a new bar. Like, what's next? You know, I value that in you.
Oh, thank you.
You are validated, phone or not. So I want to talk a little bit about the party that Leah threw for her 15th anniversary, because I loved this party. I had been to this venue before. It was this bar, and it definitely is not a place that I would ever expect Dorinda, Luann, Ramona to show up to. So it was just like,
wait, what's it called?
So it's called SNS Bar right now, which is, I think it actually stands for sneakers and stuff. So it is, you know, it's downtown. It is more of like the streetwear, yeah, like urban crowd, you know, and it's a perfect place for Leah to throw a party for Married to the Mob. Like, it makes total sense. But it was just so funny to see these women go there and just like really, you know, every time she takes them somewhere, they're just like, I've never been here. I never would have thought of this.
What is this magical place called the Lower
right.
East Side?
And I'm just like, come on, you ladies have lived in the city for this long and you just stay in your little bubble. Like, come on.
Like, my other friends in the fashion streetwear community, they know what they're going to get when they come to the party. But I feel like these women might want caviar to be served, and that's just not happening tonight.
Had you heard of Married to the Mob before Leah came on board?
No, I had not, but I actually have a friend who works for Reebok, and she was familiar. Like, I think a lot of people in like the streetwear space, or maybe more in like, you know, urban fashion, whatever, like, I think it is relatively known, but I hadn't heard of it before I met Leah or before Leah came on the show. I mean, and I have looked at the site and like thought about getting various things. And I would just because I love Leah and I want to support her, but none of it really fits. She does have masks now that say something about like resting bitch face or something. And I was like, that's kind of funny.
I'm looking up now because I've never been to the site. I need to see what I'm dealing with. Oh yeah, resting bitch face. Cute.
Yeah, like I think it works for some people. Like I haven't found anything that really is like on brand for me yet, but I did sign up for her like text message alerts because she did do a collaboration with those sheer bucket hats that she wore early on in the season. And like, I low key want one of those.
That seems like your vibe for real.
It doesn't really seem like it would help protect me from the sun, which is actually why I've been investing in hats recently. So I may not get the sheer bucket hat, but I mean, who knows? We'll see. We'll see. So at this party, Ramona stays for about 0.5 seconds because she is confronted by Elise, who absolutely reads Ramona for filth. She calls her nefarious. She's like, you're rude. And Ramona like walks out within those 0.5 seconds and does not look back.
You know are a duplicitous, nefarious,
you know you are
narcissistic,
a
superficial
you're an evil
bitch.
Girl. You're an evil
I'm
girl.
Sick and eat.
Yeah.
Hold on, Ramona.
Which let's point out that her whole thing is Dorinda won't listen when we're trying to tell her what is, you know, wrong with her, basically. And Ramona can't do the same. Like, they're the same person.
I feel bad because it seems like Elise did care about Ramona and they had been friends for a really long time. And it seems like Ramona is really just disregarding their history. And, you know, it comes up throughout the episode about Ramona and these 60 girlfriends that she has that come to her party. Ramona has a lot of acquaintances, but can she really maintain solid, strong friendships? It doesn't seem like it from the way she's treating Elise.
I think there's something about bringing a friend onto Housewives. It's like, you know, having sex with a coworker. Like, it's not going to end well necessarily. Because with Barbara and Luann last season, it's like when a friend is getting sort of their tryout, I feel, their tryout season. I don't know. But I couldn't say why that happens.
Maybe people just don't enjoy sharing the spotlight with everyone in their lives. You
maybe.
Know, I mean, it's sort of like, I think maybe Ramona feels like Roni is my thing and it doesn't have to be yours. But it just seems so strange because she is friends with many of the other women on the show, you know, so it just like doesn't add up. Like, why Elise in particular is she trying to be the one that is pushed out, you know? I don't know. The other thing I wanted to point out that I thought was hilarious is when Luann sits down with the woman who's helping her write this book, and the woman starts not kissing Luann's ass, but really reflecting on the experiences that she's read in the transcript so far. And, you know, Luann is like, my life, I did not grow up privileged. Like, people think that, you know, because I am who I am today, that, you know, I came from a different kind of background, but that's not the case. And the woman who is with her is like, I know, you used to shop at Payless.
But also, like, you shopped at Payless.
With 7 children, you know, it was polyester.
Wow. Do you know what I mean?
And I'm like, okay, hold on. Like, you're not getting any sympathy from me because you used to shop at Payless. We all used to shop at Payless.
Like, oh my God. Like, she right. has been through it. If we can all learn something, we can learn it from Luann because she shopped at Payless.
I mean, Payless always had BOGO.
BOGO!
Right? That was like their thing. Always buy one, get one. And, you know, people love a deal. That doesn't mean that you're like poor or underprivileged because you shopped at Payless. Like, some people just like a bargain.
Yeah. Like, if you weren't dragged to Payless by your mom, I worry about your character, honestly.
Right. The last thing I want to point out is, remember the pants that Dorinda wore last week that everyone compared to the blanket on Roseanne's couch?
Oh my God, that is so accurate.
So then Hannah shows up to Dorinda's birthday party in a full jacket of the same material, fabric, gemstones, whatever they are on that. And I was just like, I need to know about this designer. And I really need to get confirmation of, like, was this inspired by the blanket on Roseanne's couch?
Did you find out?
No. And people have done some research since just Dorinda wore them. And I think Dorinda's leaned into it and posted about it on Instagram being like, yeah, this was the inspiration. And I mean, in all honesty, maybe it was, because I actually think it's pretty. Like, I do think it's kind of funky and cool. Like, I don't.
Well, the pants, not the blanket.
Oh, yeah. No, the pants, I love the pants. The blanket is like a blanket, you know, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's these pants that Dorinda has, there's this jacket that Hannah has. Like, is this designer the new Giovanni? I don't know.
That's so funny.
We got to find out the name so we can just start screaming it at each other.
Big blonde hair probably has it on her Insta.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was Real Housewives of Potomac. It's Wendy and Robin at the park with their kids playing, and Wendy's son Cruz, he runs toward the ice cream truck, and she's like, look at how he runs. He's not going to be in the NFL. Like, I just love when parents can kind of laugh at their kids and not think that their kid is just the most amazing thing at everything, you know?
Absolutely. I really don't like when parents are like, my kid is perfect and does everything so well and correctly, and you're just like, oh, come on. Like, come on. You're setting the kid up for failure, you know?
Look at where he runs. I don't know if Cruz gonna make it to NFL.
Maybe we should start with soccer.
What was your rose?
My rose comes from Below Deck Med, and it is the charter guest who wandered off into the rocks and, like, took all these, like, dirty, naked pictures. Oh, yeah. Like, these charter guests are wild, and it just, like, it honestly, I'm going to be honest, it reminded me of something that you would force someone to do for you on vacation.
How dare you?
You're, like, 100% accurate. 100%. Okay, what was your thorn?
My thorn was on Beverly Hills. I don't know if you caught this, but Sutton is talking to Brandy at the party, and she's like, yeah, you know, I've known Brandy for a while. I mean, don't get me wrong. No one's going to claim that we've had sex. I mean, look at me. Like, no one would claim to have sex with me. Look at me. And I was like, does she mean look at me like I'm so fancy? Oh, but it didn't sound like that. It sounded like, look at me. Like, no one would ever say that they had sex with me. I'm no Denise Richards. And I was like, what? It made me very sad.
I've known Brandy a few years now. We go to the same skincare specialist. I see her socially every now and then. Don't worry. No one's going to claim that they've slept with me. That's fine. I mean, obviously, look at me.
Yeah, no, that struck me in a way that, like, it almost reminded me of, like, early seasons of Beverly Hills where, like, Kim Richards would say something in an interview or in a moment with Kyle and your heart would just, like, break a little bit and you would just be like, oh, no, there is something going on there. Like, there are some deeper things that this person is dealing with.
Yeah, I think because also in Rome, you know, she had that meltdown in the dressing room because she's like, things don't fit. And, like, so I just think she kind of has a little bit of self-esteem issues to work on.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the comments she gets on social media at this point are probably not helpful.
Right.
So,
I love
we need
Sutton.
To lift Sutton up. Me too. We need to lift her up and tell her she's beautiful. And if she does come back for next season, I wonder if there will be a season two glow up of any kind.
All right, what was your thorn?
My thorn also comes from Below Deck Med, and it is Bugsy not knowing what huevos rancheros are.
The breakfast special is huevos rancheros.
What's that?
Huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros?
Yeah, it's a Mexican breakfast. They'll know exactly what it is.
They will?
I can assure you.
Huevos rancheros?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It's only you.
It's only me that has never heard of that in my entire life.
Yeah. That was amazing. And he's like, yeah, they'll know what it is.
And she just kept, like, mispronouncing it, but, like, the guests knew what she was talking about. They were like, oh, cool. And she was just like, it's so fun to say. I've never heard of it before. And, like, earlier this season, we heard Chef Kiko. He didn't know what eggs over easy were. I'm just like,
yeah, what is with people?
I'm like, I feel like at a certain point in your life, you need to know all the various ways that eggs can be prepared.
Yeah. Next week, we'll be back with an all new episode
featuring a mystery guest. Megan, it's hot, it's summer, and we are still stuck at home.
And your problem with that is, you know what I love to do from the comfort of my own home?
What's that?
I like to binge watch Bravo shows.
And now you can watch some of your favorite Bravo shows, including full seasons on Peacock.
Peacock is NBC Universal's new streaming service, and it's chock full of Bravo content.
You can stream full seasons of Below Deck, Below Deck Med, Southern Charm, and The Real Housewives of Dallas today.
You can learn more at peacocktv.com. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.